What up? Welcome back to Rethink.
Yeah.
You look so fancy today.
I know. Somebody asked me at the gym today, like, are you interviewing? And I'm like, yes.
Yes, kind of.
I'm interviewing. Yeah, I'm being the interviewer.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
No, but you look fancy. You got nice shoes on.
Yep, trunk club.
Dang.
Yeah.
So fancy.
Yeah.
Before we jump into it, again, thank you. Thank you for subscribing, for sharing. Our goal is to set you up to have conversations with people that aren't coming, and so we want to give you something to share, and so you guys are jumping on with that.
Yeah, the really cool thing is this past week, on Fridays, we do Old Fashioned Friday. Someday I might invite you to that.
I hope so someday.
We'll never have Bud Light Apple.
Oh, gosh, that would be delicious, though. Oh, a little BLA.
It's a little higher end, but...
BLA is higher end, I get that, yeah.
We went off site to...
Yeah, that was sick.
Poor Wine House over in Louisville, and just to get out, and it generated a lot of good conversations, and so hopefully we could be doing more of that, but you can check out that. That's only available on YouTube, mm-hmm. So that's kind of an extra for subscribing to the YouTube channel. You can subscribe to this
on everything,
on all the platforms, but you have to go to YouTube for the Old Fashioned Friday, and it's really taken off.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's great. It's generated great conversations about life, about following up, about some of the stuff we talk on here, but even... I've had great conversations because alcohol is a really controversial thing,
yep.
Especially in Christian worlds. It's like there's like two camps. Mm-hmm. There's probably three camps. There's those that hate it and those that love it and those that lie about it.
Yeah.
say they hate it, but they really love it. Yeah. So I think the best thing is it's generated a lot of great conversations. And it's funny when people like in their comments kind of come after me, I just sit back now and watch people go, whoa, you how can you? And then they have a conversation.
It's great. Right?
And usually they're pretty civil. Please stay civil.
Yep.
Because there's nothing wrong with talking through stuff. And the other thing is it's okay to disagree with one another, but we don't have to be mean.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. So, and I think I've seen that when I've jumped on and seen what people are writing, they're actually having conversations, which is great.
Except people are very vocal about like your flat bill hat.
I know.
And your fallen Nova Nation.
Oh, such a sad
time.
Sorry,
you brought it up.
Such a sad time. I've been in mourning. I also knew it was probably going to happen, but yeah. I don't know who I'm going to back now, but usually when I
back...
There's
another Wildcat team still in there.
That would be a tough pill to swallow. I'll think about it. I'm thinking about
rethink.
It. I'll rethink who I'm going to support for the rest of this, but
okay.
I like when everybody else around me is mourning as well, and so if I don't pick them and then they lose, it's like we can mourn together.
But we all hate Duke.
We all hate Duke. They should have lost.
They should have lost.
Oh, that was brutal.
Yeah.
And I hate people that say, oh, they should have lost. Like when the Saints and the Rams thing happened, it's like... They didn't, but yesterday it should have happened.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I was talking to Taylor about, for most of my life, Coach K, if not all my life, Coach K has been the coach of Duke, and I love him. How do we love him so much, and yet we hate...
I know, but did you see him like go over and hug
Yeah,
those,
what a great guy.
Those Central Florida guys? I mean, they were sobbing, and even in his interview, he was almost like, I can't even celebrate this
He was
victory.
Emotional, yeah.
Yeah, because he loves the coach.
One of those kids, his dad was an assistant for him,
right.
And so he grew up, but it's like, what a great guy that it's like... Uh-huh. He wanted them to succeed in that.
And that tall kid from Senegal, 7.5 feet tall.
Insane.
Were you telling me that his brother was 5'9 at age 7?
That wasn't me, but that's insane.
You're 5'9.
I'm, yeah. It's not close. There was a picture of him when they were playing, I think it was VCU, and he was on the ground. He got fouled and was getting up. He was on his knees, and the guy from VCU walked past, and they were the same height. Oh, yeah.
Did you see that lady sports commentator standing beside him?
Yes.
It looked almost... creepy.
It was insane.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being that tall. And he still like moves. I don't know how people can be coordinated to that.
Giraffes figured it out.
That's true. It just took a little while.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Man. That's I don't know. Good. I don't know where we were going. Oh, that we were still talking about subscribing and then hating Duke. So that's great.
Yep. All the important things.
And Villanova losing. Sad.
Yeah. And being nice to each other in our conversations.
Yes. Thank you for being nice to me from stage in front of all those people this weekend. So nice. Aurora loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good. Whatever. Anyway. So we here at Flatirons, we teach in series.
Right.
And as we roll into this next series, there's a lot of thought that goes into why we do these types of things and a lot of things that usually it comes up where it's like, this is a problem that society or us as an American culture are facing, whatever that is. And where is Jesus in the midst of that?
Sure.
And so talk about what we're rolling into.
Yeah.
We have a couple weeks rolling up into Easter. And so talk about like the thought process that got you to where we're going.
Yeah. So, I kicked off this past week and I'm going, hey, I'm going to kind of give you a preview about what's coming, because I've been looking forward to this series. I'd probably say that all the series, but right. And the reason is because when we set out, so last year we decided we're going to teach all the way through these three chapters of the Bible called the Sermon on the Mount, and then we break it into series, and we kind of get close to what the series is going to be about, and then we pay attention to what's happening around us in our lives, and they seem to come together, and I think that's how God, you know,
works.
Right? Meaning is that you could read a verse that you haven't read for a long time, and then like some of the most popular comments back through the podcast or through the last few series is it we just looked at each other. It's like, did he bug our phone? Was he listening in our conversations? And the truth is that this is what I think is so cool. When the Bible says that it's alive and it can cut to the heart of things.
Yeah.
And that really makes sense. It's like, I've read that Bible verse so many times, and it meant this thing. And now this other thing's going on in my life, and I read the same verse. I'm going, that's what it's talking about right there. Mm-hmm. So we've been kind of working our way through this whole contrasting typical religion with what Jesus says. Let's look inside about what's really going on. And we got into, let's go beyond, are we murdering one another? Are we having affairs? Are we lying to one another? Are we, you know, getting divorced the right way?
Which are big things, but
it's
a surface level thing.
It's a symptom thing, all right? It's an overflow of something that's broken inside.
Yeah.
We're so angry. We treat each other with contempt and redefine each other, call each other names, point fingers. We're caught up in just untrue, dark definition sexually, and we just feed our minds with all kinds of stuff, so we don't even know what we believe anymore. And then it comes out. We're looking for good things in all the wrong places. Yeah. And so then we move into this last series where we're looking at, in order to learn new things or become a different kind of person that resembles all the goodness that comes out of Jesus, which mm-hmm. is what we're going for. That kind of person. I'm not going to walk on water and cure leprosy, but right. if I could be the same kind of person.
If he was in your shoes,
if
right
he was
now.
In my shoes, if he had my kids, if he had my job, if he had my income, if he had my cancer, if he had my whatever that is, I want to be the kind of person that would do it the same way he would do it.
Yeah.
Right. So we looked at things like, how do I become a generous person, or how do I have an ongoing conversation, or how do I lay down one thing? This is what we talked about this past week, this fasting thing, which everybody thinks is like for spiritual giants. And all it means is I'm going to give up this so that I can take a good look at this. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I'm so worried about that I don't do this. And so
did you ever see that video? I was thinking about this. I was listening to a different podcast and they brought this up, but there's the video where they're like, hey, count how many times the basketball gets passed. And so these guys are passing a basketball, and this guy in a gorilla suit walks into the middle and then dances a little bit and then walks out. And then it's like, did anybody see the dancing gorilla? And like, statistics are like 65% of people didn't notice it. And it's like, you were focusing on one thing, something else happened. You didn't even notice it because you thought what you were focusing on was a good thing.
Right.
So it's like, when you can take your mind off of that one thing, you realize that there's a lot of other things going on and things at play here.
I think that's why people go on retreats. They get away from the phone, they get away from the internet, they get away from the noise, and all of a sudden they're sitting in the woods, and now they got to look at something. And that terrifies some people also, right? So I think it's the same way with fasting. But if you work out, you know, you can get into a routine of working out, and then you plateau, mm-hmm. and then you got to change it up, right? And go, okay, I got to shock my muscles back into growing again. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about, is I got to learn new things, and then I got to eliminate the things that are in the way of that. And then I got to just do it over and over and over again. Again, shout out to Nolan Arenado.
Yes.
That was a great
He's coming. Yeah, it was great.
Someday. His opening day is coming up.
Yep.
Who knows?
Who knows? We got to talk about that afterwards. They want to bring us down for batting practice.
Shut up,
I'm
Cole.
Dead serious. Yeah. So I was talking to him this weekend.
I've never hit a baseball with a bat in my life.
Yeah. You might not have to swing, but you can watch Nolan and then talk to him afterwards. And so they're figuring that out, and they want to bring us down. We'll talk after this. It's great. What up, Nolan?
BFF.
Yeah. Heck yeah. So good.
All right.
Just keep going.
I'm distracted now.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
Yeah, you don't drop that in the middle of a podcast, Cole.
That's how my brain works. I'm light on caffeine now.
Well, then up your Adderall.
I don't take pills anymore. I take pills. I don't take I don't take ADHD meds anymore. And I used to supplement with caffeine. Now I've dipped back on that, and now it's all over the place. But you were talking about
somehow I want to make a wiener joke, but I can't work it in. But
sometimes you have to take pills for that.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I'm not there yet.
Yep.
Are you?
If you put me on the spot right now?
Yeah, no. We'll talk about something else.
Yeah.
you were talking about the repetitions.
I don't have to, but somebody just wants to.
It's a classic Friday night. Sorry, keep going.
I'm distracted.
Yeah, I'll bring you back.
I'm thinking Viagra and Nolan Arenado in the same.
Usually that goes together for creepy. Some of us. For some of us, that might go together.
No, that's not me. Batting practice.
Batting practice, mm-hmm. Maybe.
No.
Rethink it.
I'm so sorry.
So we were talking about...
They're going to cancel our invitation now.
No, they're back. Oh, he'll still be in, I think.
See, I want to make a joke.
I know. So I was there, too. I'm just trying to lobby softballs. You're doing really great. You dress nice. You're trying to play the part. You're in the interviewer...
What part is that?
The interviewer mentality where you're not going to let them, you know, really see.
You didn't get the job if I'm interviewing you.
Yeah. I'll win you back.
I know you will.
Yeah. So you were talking about muscle memory.
Yeah. Well, moving into this next thing is here's what I'm so excited about mm-hmm. because this next series, Jesus is just basically going to, in a really loving kind way, go, hey, you're either in or you're not. Mm-hmm. If so, then what? And so like, there's that famous thing that we're going to look at going, hey, where your heart is, the thing you love, you know what you find there also? Your money. Mm-hmm. So if you want to know what you love, show me your checkbook or show me your ledger, whatever that is, your bank statement. And then nobody wants to do that, you know? But Jesus says, okay. And then the next part of it is, you know, if you're a generous person, depend upon who you serve, all right? Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to, and you know, this is the one I'm looking forward to. And this is the weekend right before Easter. You know what you have not surrendered to God. You know what it is because you worry about it all the time. Hmm. And this Jesus says over and over, so don't worry. And he doesn't say don't work hard or don't, you know, prepare or whatever it is. He's like, why are you worrying? You're worrying like people that don't even believe I'm here. And then it lands on Easter going, if Jesus really is who he says he is.
Right.
Right. Then why are we freaking out? Because, you know, the latest thing that blew up in our life, and I'm not taking away from it, but if Jesus can actually keep a promise, like I'll come back to life after 3 days and I'll be there for you and I'll empower you and I'll walk through this with you and I'll take away, you're going to get through this too, yeah. Because you're doing it with God. And so that's the kind of overall theme. But here's the cool thing is the way that we live our lives has to be affected by our faith. Well, let me say this. Our faith is actually revealed for what it really is and how we play out our lives. And so when we're looking at the first couple of weeks, when we're talking about money, it's not like you need to give more to this church. That's not even the theme here, right? But whatever you do with your life, all right, whatever you do as a job, your career, could you turn that so that you actually say, I work in a welding factory. I build cars. I'm an engineer. I build software. I'm a nurse, whatever. What if you began to see that as that's, business is ministry, payroll, or profit. Profit is not just how much money came in, but what did my company become and accomplish? And so this is where it gets big, because this is going to resound so much with the heart of Flatirons, because we are a church for lost and broken people. Mm-hmm. The number one question asked of Jesus that I can find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is, why does he hang out with people like that? Doesn't he know? Why does he let her touch him? She's a whore. All right. Why does he have lunch with Zacchaeus? He's a thief. You know, he's an embezzler. He works for the enemy. And Jesus is having lunch and calls him friend. And then Jesus comes out and goes, This is why I came mm-hmm. to seek and save, not uptight religious, you know, puckering, mm-hmm. whatever Christian that was a P.
Yeah.
Puckering. Well, whatever applies. Yeah. I came for lost, broken, messy people. All right. And so I always want to be a church that goes, why them? Mm-hmm. You know, why would you care about them? Why don't you go to someplace easier? Why don't you go get involved with something less messy? I'm like, you know, the low hanging fruit's been picked. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not taking away from any mission trip, but there's some places you can go build a church tomorrow, pat yourself on the back, come home and go, oh, I baptized 47 people.
Yep.
What you don't hear is for the 37th time.
Yep.
All right. There's some parts in the world you can go to and go, boy, nobody's even been here. They don't even know who Jesus is. They don't even know there is a God that he's looking in their direction. And so I know the heart of Flatirons because the last two Christmases have been really revealing.
Yeah. Talk about those.
So on a whim, okay, we're doing this series about don't look at the Christmas stories as these super spiritual, holy people. It was a 20-something year old guy with probably a 13 or 14 year old pregnant girlfriend going to tell her parents that, hey, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now, whatever happened in that room is probably similar to what would happen if my 13 or 14 year old daughter came in with her college age boyfriend and said, I got knocked up by God, right?
Yep.
It's like, there's going to be blood. There's going to be fighting. Yep. There's going to be screaming.
Yeah.
And there's the door. All right. So they were ordinary people facing things they'd never seen before. And the only reason they did it is because they were absolutely convinced this is from God. Right. So on a whim of that, we kind of had this metaphor, this old Volkswagen on stage. And Adam and I were talking one day and go, we should just, raffle that off and maybe take the money. And Mary started out as a pregnant teenager. Maybe we go after single moms, something like that. And we thought we would raise enough money. And then we went through all this stuff and we couldn't get a gaming license. So it was like, suggested donation.
Donation. And yeah, you thought we were going to get like 50.
No, 50. I thought we could get enough for one or two cars.
Yep.
All right. And we got enough. I think we gave away somewhere between 60 and 70 cars and paid their license and paid their registration and used a broker, got everything set up for them. And it was absolutely life-changing because these are the people Jesus cares about. And because of that, it's the people Flatirons cares about.
Yeah.
And I didn't think we'd ever do better than that. And then on a whim, we got hooked up with this God Behind Bars, this ministry that goes into prisons. But it's not like some of the prison ministries out there, and I'm not being critical of them, but I'm being critical of any ministry that breezes into town, does a project, and then leaves and never even pursues a relationship.
Tells you what you need, not
tells you what you need. Yeah. Pass themselves on the back, go home, and reports what good they've done in the world. They didn't talk to anybody, they didn't build a relationship, and they haven't followed up on anything. God Behind Bars is the opposite. It is, we're going to plant a church, a campus inside of the walls of a state prison. Probably Lyman is what's shaping up. We're going to pump in the music, the worship. We're going to send them all the small groups material. We're going to do all that. And then we're going to have volunteer teams go down there every week. All right. It's a couple hours from here. Set up, tear down. We're going to donate a sound system, video system to the prison.
Yep.
So that it's permanently installed there, and that builds a bridge with them. We're going to be working with the warden and his staff and the executive director of corrections. He's a Christian. He was at church this past weekend.
So sick.
Really, really, really good dude. But we're also going to be working with the families that are within our reach so that makes my eyes just start burning my throat, right? So a day will come when this man has been involved in our ministry for a while, all right? And there's a whole other part I want to talk about in a second. He will walk out, and they usually release prisoners or offenders at night, like, and give them $30. And, all right? And what do they do?
Yeah. Right?
So the Flatirons community will be at the gates.
Yep.
And when those men walk out, and I saw the gate, they'll walk out.
Yeah.
For freedom, for some of the, maybe for the first time in years. They'll walk into a community, their wife and their kids, or girlfriends, kids, whatever this, they're already part of a community because they've been watching the same sermon. They're part of the same church.
Yeah.
And then they'll come back here together. And that's just the first part.
Yeah.
All right. That I'm really, really excited about. And so this lines up with, what difference are you making? This is the question the church has not answered very well to people who are interested in Jesus so much, but organized religion has really, really turned them off. Mm-hmm. And so what difference does that your big church make? And one of the best questions is, if your church was just like sucked off the earth for some reason, would anybody notice? And would anybody care? Right? I want to answer those questions. Like, let's say that I've got 5-7 years left here, and then the elders go, okay, go. Mm-hmm. All right. I would love to say that all the men that were part of our ministry at Lyman Prison through God Behind Bars and Flatirons partnered together, the recidivism rate, which is the return rate, is around 75% of offenders go back to prison within 2 years. We took our men, it went from 75% to zero. That's making a difference.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
But the other thing is not just what happens, at church. It's like, now they have to go get a job. Now they have to go make, they got kids, right? And if you've been in prison for a while and you come out of prison and you get a job, minimum wage, stocking shelves at Walmart or flipping burgers at McDonald's. And again, I'm not taking away from any of that. You just can't raise a family of four in Colorado that way.
No, it's impossible.
You're way below the poverty line.
Yeah.
Same with single moms. All right. So here's the plan. I'm giving this away. I cannot wait to go to stage and talk about this, because it's like, this is what the church is supposed to do. And everybody that I'm about to explain this to, they all go, why hasn't anybody been doing that before? Right? So So let's go. Okay, let's go after the men involved in our prison here, and then let's figure out the other most at risk group in Colorado, and that is single moms. So a single mom, cut me off if this is too much.
No, right? Keep going.
A single mom in Colorado or the Denver area, if she only makes, and she has two kids, single mom with two kids, and she makes $30,000 a year, which is minimum wage, yep. right? The government will give her $45,000 in benefits,
yep.
housing, Medicaid, food, all this kind of, right? Child care, right? If she makes $30,001, she loses all the benefits. It's called the cliff effect.
Yep.
All right. So there's some businessmen that are much smarter than I, and they're running after that on a government level. If you go through the Bible and what God had in mind for taking care of people in need, right? The first wave of I've got to take care of these people is family,
mm-hmm.
right? So you go to family first. You take care of your aging parents first, or you take care of what family is first, right? And then the second wave is your faith community, right?
Yep.
And then the third wave is government. And we have actually flipped reversed it. That. It's like, and even family and family and churches point people, go, the government will pay it for that, right? And so this single mom is incentivized to stay poor. Don't try to up your life. Don't do any of that, right? So what I want to do is I want to partner with our ministry called Thrive, which is a job training, mm-hmm. coaching, interviewing, and a mentoring that goes alongside. I'd like to get these single moms and these men that are coming out, right? First of all, I'd like to start working inside the prison with these men to prepare them for employers that we have yep. that are waiting on them. But imagine this. Have I already told you this? This is so good. This is going to make so much sense, right? So let's say that you run a company and you're going to hire somebody. And I have this young single mom over here, and I say she's qualified. And you go, great. I'll pay her $15 an hour. And I said, no. Don't pay her $15 an hour. She needs $19 an hour to offset all what she's going to lose. $15 an hour, just put her over the cliff. Yep. She'll starve to death. How about this? Pay her $12 an hour, which sounds weird.
Mm-hmm.
Take the $3 an hour that you were going to pay her, put it in a savings account for her.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, I will work with Thrive, and there's some contributors out there in the community who go in. They cannot give her money for housing. It's considered income. Throw her over the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They can give to Thrive. Thrive can find her good housing and supplement her income.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's off government aid.
Yep.
All right? We'll leave her on Medicaid because nobody can touch Medicaid.
Yep.
All right? Right? We'll leave her in government child care because in 2 years, both her kids will be in kindergarten. She'll be off that. I'll work with some local grocery stores. I'll go approach all these. Say, hey, if we give you $100, will you flip it and make it $125? And if you need to use it for advertising or you know, look what we're doing in the community. I don't care. Now I've got this girl off food stamps.
Yep.
All right. Now she's at risk. She's messy. All right. Her life is really hard. Mm-hmm. She's trying to keep her life together. She's a single mom, the hardest job maybe on the planet. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when she comes in and starts working for you, she's going to need a lot of help and coaching. Thrive's going to come alongside of her, walk through this with her. We'll take care of her, help her with housing. Right. She'll pay some of it.
Yep.
We'll help her with food. We'll help her with, you'll have a savings account for her, right? And paying this, right? She's got medical taken care of. She got child care taken care of. In 2 years, so we'll make this a 2 year run.
Yep.
In 2 years, here's what will happen. Both her kids are now in kindergarten. She's ready to move on, and you're going to pay her $25 an hour and give her full time benefits.
Yeah.
So now she's making a living wage, not a minimum wage, yep. a living wage that she can take care of her family. Maybe even go to school, right? She doesn't need childcare anymore. She has $10,000 in a savings account that you've held back for her that you're going to give her, right? She has health benefits because a full-time employee gets health benefits from you now. And she has the dignity of not being in poverty.
Yeah.
And this is what Jesus cares about. Here's what I want to do is I'd like to work with our school and go, hey, listen, the men coming out of jail, I'm speaking for the school. I'm not even clear this with anybody, yeah. but I'm Pastor Jim.
Yeah, you're right? in charge.
So why not do this? If you're a man and you have a family and they can get to our academy, which is a private school, so expensive, right?
Yep.
Or you're a single mom that's involved in Thrive and you're partnered with us in the business community, right? We'll give you, we'll bring your kids into our school.
Yep, covered.
Covered.
Yep.
You know, and I think people will line up going, I'll give my heart to that.
Because, hell yeah.
You know why? Because where your heart is, there your money is too. That's what Jesus is teaching, yeah. right? So it's like, you know, you say you love that. You say you care about the poor. You say you care about that. Well, then throw some money at them strategically.
Yeah.
Right? Just don't give money in a red bucket, you know, to something that's ringing a bell. You don't know where it goes, all right? I can account for every dollar we're going to do. We can get these, we can do job training. All right, so we can bring this man out of prison. He can start training for different jobs, especially if I've got employers lined up going, okay, he's at risk. I can't babysit mm-hmm. him. I know. And he's stabbed before, he may stab again.
Yeah.
But if things are, you don't have to get him out of bed in the morning. I've got Thrive volunteers that'll do that. You don't, if you have an interaction with him, I got a Thrive coach that will coach him through that. All right. You don't need to babysit him. I'm going to give you in 2 years the best employee that you can imagine, and then you'll pay for him.
Yeah.
And he has the dignity of raising his family. Now, here's my vision, right? I'm so excited. Are we out of time yet?
No, we're good.
Okay, listen. So here's my vision. If I could raise up, and this is what I'm going to talk about in the next 2 weeks. If I could raise up, so Flatirons Community Church, we have, around 18,000 people. You know, a fourth of those are kids,
yep.
right? And then you take a third of that. So let's say we have 5,000 families. 5,000-6,000 families, all right? Let's say half of those people own a business, large or small,
mm-hmm.
all right? If I could get 200 business owners, welding shops, car dealers, whatever that is, all right, to say, I'll take one. I can't hire 10 single moms. I can't hire 10 recently released offenders, all right? I can take one, and if Thrive will partner with me, right, I will see my business as ministry, and my payroll as profit. This is an Old Testament like concept of the Israelites would have said, when you go harvest a field, leave some on the corners.
Yeah.
So it's not all for you, and the poor can come in. And if you harvest your field, don't go over it a second time. What you dropped, leave it. All right. And we have to see. Like, let's say that you run a Chick-fil-A or you run a grocery store, and at the end of the year you go, was my business a success? If the one thing that you're saying is, I made more money than I did last year, Jesus tells this great story about there's a man who had so much, he tore down his barns and he built bigger barns, and then he died. And Jesus says, then what will you have? Who will get that? And the answer is not you.
Yeah.
And he says, this is how it will be for the person who is rich towards themselves, but not rich towards God. And so at the end of whatever business you run, right, if you have not looked at your business and said, some of that I left on the table for God to use for the things that he loves, and widows and orphans, and the naked and the sick and the prisoner, Matthew 25,
yeah,
right? Somehow, Jesus says, when you take care of them, it's like he did it for me. So you can't preach like me. You can't sing like, you know, Tommy or Dan or whatever that is. All right, what can you do? I can run a car dealership. I can run a garage. I can run a cleaning service. I can do that, all right? I can't pay her $25 an hour right now. Okay, I don't want you to. Pay her this. Keep her on this side of the cliff. Save some money. Partner with Thrive. And at the end of that, two, three years from now, oh, you'll pay her $25 because she's your manager.
For sure.
She runs everything for you, or he does, right? And he's the best one because not only have we talked about them spiritually, we've given them the dignity of saying, I got my life back. And I think Jesus wants to give dignity back to people.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants anybody in slavery, emotionally, physically, financial. He wants them to live a free, abundant life. And the church has not been paying attention to this.
Absolutely.
People call the church and go, hey, can you help me with this? Now, we have to be wise with that. Mm-hmm. Why do you call to get your light bill paid every month? Well, I just bought a new car and I got 4 cell phones and my cable bill. Okay, that's not wise. Mm-hmm. Let's go into that, right? But the church and family shouldn't. I think it's come too easy just to go, dude, just get on government aid. Right,
mm-hmm.
And there's no dignity in that.
No,
and there's some people that don't. They've said that's as good as I'm ever going to have. It's better than my parents had, and they're going to settle that. But I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the man or woman who wants to be able to look in the mirror and go, "I'm a good man. I'm taking care of my family. What God has entrusted. I made a mistake. I did some time. I made a mistake, and I don't even know where this kid's dad is anymore. But this is my child now, mm-hmm. And I need to take responsibility for my life. Good for you." Right? How can the church partner with you to give you back the life that Satan tried to hijack and tell you your life is over because you committed a crime or you got pregnant or you got addicted or whatever that is. It doesn't have to be the end of your story. And the if so, then what? So the theme of this next series is called First Things First. If Jesus really is right here first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, yeah, right? The heaven. And all these things. And what are all these things? Well, Jesus says it's food, water, and clothing. All right? Let's say it like this. A job, housing, childcare, right? Food, yeah, and medical care. All these things will be given to you as well. If he is who he says he is, and we are living our life in his kingdom, and if he really did raise from the dead, and if he can really pull off all the promises this side of that,
yeah,
I mean, if he can do that,
yeah,
all right? He has not forgotten about the 17, 18-year-old girl with two babies stuck in an apartment saying, this is all my life is ever going to be, and this is all my children's life is ever going to be. That is not from Jesus.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be from the church. And so I cannot wait to jump into this next series. Listen, maybe there's a business person out there right now going, hey, I want to get in that Thrive thing. I want to start training to get ready for that. We're months and months and months away. We haven't even met the first inmate out that line. We haven't had the first, we haven't done anything out there yet. But if we can start changing the way we think right now so that we can go, okay, looking ahead to 2020 and I'm putting my company's budget together.
Yeah, that's just muscle memory like this past series. You start practicing now.
You got to rethink your budget. You got to rethink what your goals for your business are going to be and rethinking, why did God trust me with this business? Is it just, and there's nothing wrong with upgrading your square footage and buying some boats and going on some cool trips and buying some cool crap, whatever that is, okay? Nothing wrong with that, okay? Unless you built bigger barns to the exclusion of what God cares about. Yeah. But if you seek first his kingdom of heaven and you got a big pile of money, they're not mutually exclusive. But there is a responsibility to leverage that because he gave it to you for a reason and it's not all your stuff for you.
Yeah.
Right? And again, this has nothing to do. I'm not trying to up the giving at Flatirons. I'm trying to change single mom poverty and the rate of recidivism in Colorado so that when I stand before Jesus, he goes, what did you do with what I entrusted to you? I go, I think, Lord, I made a difference. And 85%, I forget what the statistic is. Almost every kid whose dad or mom did time in prison end up doing time in prison. And maybe we can actually, can you imagine one day one of our campus pastors, I'm the first kid in my family, not just to go to college, I'm the first kid in my family to not go to prison.
Yeah.
I mean,
that gets me jacked up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, last thing. So, for the business owner, you just got them jacked up, like they're ready to roll.
I hope so.
For the person who's not the business owner, but is like, I want in. I want to make a difference. I want to do something like that. What can they be doing right now to get ready for this over the next 2 weeks and then the next year? Yeah. What can that person who doesn't own a business, but is like, I've got something to offer, what can they do right now?
Well, I think that it always starts, Barry said a couple of weeks ago, I got to ask, what does Jesus want to do with that in me? All right. Because it may be different. All right. So I don't have a big pile of money. I don't run a business. All right. But you know somebody and you have a spiritual gift. It may be encouragement. It may be this. I've worked the same secretarial job for 20 years. I've seen stuff come and I've seen stuff go. I could partner up with a young single mom and be her mentor coach. She doesn't even know where her mom is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Her mom kicked her out when she found out that she was, pregnant with her second child. She needs an older woman to come along in her life and go, come here. I'm not your mom, but I'll be your coach.
Back.
I'll be your advocate. Mm-hmm. And you call me when you don't know what to do at work. How many people, actually could say that you just described me, right? Like I always say, my kids are out of the house. I was a fairly decent dad. I still got a lot to offer. And now I've got young men in my life who are coming up to me who've got pretty shitty dads. And all these eyes are turning towards me. And I'm like, I'm moving into a different stage of life. I have one son,
mm-hmm.
Joro, all right? And I love him. I'm proud of him. He's amazing, right? But I have a responsibility to take some of that father wisdom that I've accumulated over, the last 33 years of doing some things right and doing some things wrong and getting a lot of grace and second chances that I can sit on a porch in the woods with you and go, how's that going?
Mm-hmm.
Are you open to something? Where does that come from? All right. So we need a lot more mentors. A lot of times when I've hired, especially when I first got here to Flatirons, somebody said, why do you want to hire that guy from the other side of the country? And I said, because I trust him. What are you going to have him do? I'm not sure. I just need another man on staff who knows God's word and has a lot to offer. And what he does here is really secondary, because nobody does what they were hired to do here at Flatirons for long, right? I mean, you hired, how many jobs have you been in?
I think 8.
Yeah. And you've been here like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like, my point is, if we all have something to offer, and what the church has to stop thinking is ministry happens at a church building or at a church function. Ministry happens every day
and everywhere,
everywhere, but we have to think different. How we run a car dealership, how we run a repair garage, a tire shop, you know, what a media company, whatever that is. There's something you could do to say, you know, nobody in my repair shop makes $75,000 an hour. Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm not telling you to pay him $75,000. I'm saying to live in Colorado, you have to make $75,000 a year or you will be on government aid. Right? At least if you're a single mom with 2 kids.
Yep.
Right. So what you're going to adjust your ministry model or your ministry model slash business model to go, but I am going to do there. And it's a 2-year investment that at the end of it, I have at least a $75,000 employee.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a risk.
For sure.
But none of us would be where we are unless somebody took a risk on us.
Right.
So the church needs to go first.
Yep. Take a risk.
About time.
Absolutely.
I'm so jacked up.
It'll be sick.
Yep.
Cool. Thanks. See you next week.
Okay, bye.